It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All righty, Diana Ross, the great Diana Ross. Yeah, you kind of feel like you were thrown around upside down, inside out. Round and round, on that final spot measurement, what have you. Let me just rephrase, just so I get this all right. Maybe we don't have to actually spot the football first, before the measurement or before the evaluation. I would prefer that. I think you start as a base there. But if the caller Chris is right, that talked to Matt off the air, and said they're not looking at all at the physical spot. They're looking simply whether or not the ball crossed the line of gain. I think we can all agree, probably, that in a league and in a world where we have digital technology on everything. I mean, if you watch tennis, look at how specific all of the digital... Now, granted, it's in tennis balls, different than football, but... Look at how specific and how precise it is. I went to the U.S. Open. The digital technology is amazing. I watch a lot of tennis. It's unbelievable. Soccer. VAR. I know people have issues with it, but it's pretty damn close, if not precise. Baseball. People bitch. I mean, people make a living out of bitching and moaning about the strike zone. And balls being 2 inches off the corner. And blowing up umpires for that. How come we can't have any of that in football? Where I can precisely, through a digital chip technology, see, okay, Zach Ertz caught that ball at its furthest most point at the 41-point, you know, 2-inch line. And the line of gain was the 41.0, and therefore it did not cross. And I can see a visual of it like I can in tennis, like I can in soccer, like I can in baseball, like I can, again, in a league which has all sorts of incredible next-gen stat digital technology. Why can't we get that? I don't understand that at all. All right, let's go back to the calls. Tim is in Suitland with us on the Team 980. Tim, good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.
I think that the muff kicks was a great contributor to us losing. And if you remember, both muffs hit him in the face mask.
Yes, yes. Seemed like he was having some issues with the visor or whatever it was. Yeah. I didn't talk to OZ after the game, but it seemed like, yes, that was, you know, like he caught it or he just misjudged it. And one, I think, hit him in like the shoulder or the neck area, if memory serves.
Yeah. But one hit him straight in the face mask. And like you said, I don't see why they kept keeping him in there. That was after the first one. I think I would have got a replacement, and that's just, you know, me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it, man. You know, like I totally do. Like, and listen, their primary punt returner. Let's start with this, right? The guy that they kept around largely because He is their primary punt returner, and he's shorthanded, is on IR and has been on IR for a while. Okay, so if you go back and you say, all right, well, like OZ did a pretty good job when asked to do so, what have you, in the preseason, okay, just using this as the preseason, not what happens at Commanders Park and whatever. They had Kaz Allen, who's on the practice squad, return punts. They had Zacchaeus, right, of course, again, who we mentioned, who only caught one, but it was a 19-yarder against the Jets. Luke McCaffrey also was used as a punt returner, and D. Davis, I don't remember who that is, was used as a punt returner. So they had other options, including guys that were actually active yesterday, at least one in McCaffrey, and they could have brought it up. They could have brought up Kaz Allen from the practice squad before yesterday if they wanted to. They obviously didn't feel it was that big of a concern, even though I went back and I watched it on all 22, and he clearly fumbled on a return against Chicago, and he butchered, misjudged one against Carolina.
Yeah, I heard you say that previously, and you checked it out, our previous games, and you saw how he was just not really our guy.
Mm-hmm.
He should not be our guy in the upcoming game.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think he had a return after the two fumbles, and again, maybe that was by design. We'll have to see. So that's who you blame it on, because it obviously turned into a quick 7 points, which is totally understandable.
But one quick thing, because I know you got other calls.
Yep.
During the preseason, didn't they have some type of digital device that they were going to use for first down?
That's what I thought, and I remember seeing it on the screen, and maybe it was because it was experimental and they're still trying to work out the kinks. I don't know. All I know is they care more about playing games in, again, North Korea than they do about getting things right that can simply just tell us yes or no whether a ball was caught at its furthest most point. And so I think you're right, because I remember that specifically being a thing. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. Maddie, I can't, for whatever reason, I can't. I don't know what I'm doing here. Oh, there it goes. All right. I was able to do that. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate you. Good call. Good point. DC is in Akatink, next up on the Team 980. What's up, DC? How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Russell?
I'm doing good, man.
That's good, man. Salute to all the veterans.
Absolutely.
Happy Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
But the loss, as the guys speak about the brotherhood, this was a team loss, man. It's so many little things that obviously led to the loss.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's down in distance and you still giving up a touchdown, whether it's you got to watch the ball when it's fourth and short. We got to give an accurate pass when the guy's wide open. And as we know, so many guys dropping passes.
Yep.
These are pros. The ball touches, you got to catch it. So I think they have each other's back. It was easy for them to tell Johnny Newton, we got your back, because they know he has their back. And that's why he was so anxious to jump offside.
Yeah.
So I think ultimately they're going to use this. They're going to look each other in the eye and tell each other, I got your back, and then they're going to go out there and show it to us on Thursday.
You know, it's one thing to say it. Now they're going to have to go out and, again, you know, nobody's going to play a perfect game, but they're going to have to prove it. And the best way you can prove it is by winning a game that most people are not going to pick you to win on the road, hostile environment, Thursday night football, blah, 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 on a short week, injuries, all of that stuff. Number one. Number two, you're the second guy that's brought up, hey, if it hits you in the hands or if it hits you, like, you got to catch it. I agree with that in general, but when it's contested or when it's behind or when it's into a defender, I do have some leniency in my, like the Noah Brown non-catch on the sideline right before the Zach Ertz 4th-and-9 play. Yes, okay. It hits him on the hands, and yes, he probably should have caught it, but I can't say definitively because it's kind of behind him, and it's right into almost like the shoulder and neck area of the defender. So I do think that altered the ability to make the catch. But it hit him in the hands, right? And I understand that's frustrating, and I get that, you know, like you'd want your guy to make a great catch. Of course, that's a huge play. But, you know, I can't call it a drop, and I can't kill a guy for not making a really, really tough catch.
Rush, I'll tell you, those guys will tell you themselves they should have made that catch. Because, like, I've watched Terry. Every year, Terry makes a sideline catch where he is able to, his body's out of bounds, the ball's out of bounds.
Well, he did a great job on that one yesterday, but not everybody's Terry. And Noah's made some really tough catches, along the sideline. Yeah.
Indeed.
I'm not gonna kill him, but you know, I understand everybody's, you know, frustrated, but
indeed. Even Zach, like that touchdown. He knows how to hold on to it. I know they'll correct it internally, and therefore we'll see it on the field. All of those guys will do it.
Hope so. Thank you, DC. As always, appreciate you. Good to hear from you. Let's get to, let's see here. Lap is with us. What up, Lap? How are you? Lappy.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Rooster?
What's going on?
Shout out to Matty Ice.
Yes, sir.
And shout out to all the veterans out there. I got family members that serve, so I'm happy, man, that they serve our country well.
Absolutely.
And shout out to AP, too, man, as well. Mm-hmm. The Hall of Fame caller. We appreciate your work and service, bro. This was a good team loss. In a sense that we pretty much needed to be kind of perfect. We really didn't turn the ball over too much. That month punt, that was bad. And they made sure Jaden really couldn't, you know, run and scramble like that. I'm big on, like, when we bring people in, put them at their strength. If Zacchaeus is a slot receiver or whatever, because I've seen him, you know, when he was with Dan Quinn, a few years ago, you know, him and Mariota, they was torching us in that Atlanta game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to use him for with our strength. And I think, wasn't Benjamin St. Jude, wasn't he drafted as a safety, if I'm not mistaken?
Well, a lot of people, because of his frame, thought he could be a safety, right? And I know from talking to his defensive coordinator at Minnesota, Coach Rossi, I think Paul Rossi, right after that selection, you know, that we asked him, Pete and I did, you know, whether he thought it was a safety corner, and he thought corner, right? And so did, obviously, Rivera and the Commanders, and so did, oh, by the way, whether by need or necessity, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. I understand how frustrating it is to watch Benjamin St. Juice play in, play out. I think I have a better, I don't know, level of patience with him than most. I will say this. What drove me crazy about that particular play is, first of all, it was a great throw and great route by Mike Williams. But they had two deep safeties. And the Steelers, like, kind of, I guess, hoodwinked or tricked the Commanders to have the safety on that side, who could have helped out over the top, have to come down to take out the flat receiver who leaked out of the backfield as Russell Wilson was under pressure from that side. Does that make sense? Like, so they played two deep safeties on the play with the thought of, hey, we could take away Mike Williams or we could take away something over the top. And because the Pittsburgh Steelers on 3rd and 9 leaked out the running back out of the backfield, smart on them, right? Because of that, the safety comes streaking down and all of a sudden then isn't able to help Benjamin St. Juice on the play. So it's almost whatever, you know?
Yeah, he was out of position for sure. We definitely need secondary help. I'm hoping when Lattimore comes back, he'll be able to hold his position. The front seven's been pretty solid, you know, for the most part. Yeah. But it's just when they can't get to the quarterback or get that pressure, then we're banking on the secondary to hold their position. And we don't have anybody like that. Yeah. And Emmanuel Forbes, he needs to play.
But this is part of the biggest problem, right? I mean, think about it. Emmanuel Forbes, yes, which was not their decision, but they kept him on the roster. And Michael Davis, who they brought in. have both been they've both been really bad flops, and
if they're not doing anything worse than, I mean, they can't do anything worse than what the secondary is now. And I've been told everybody about a receiver. No one wanted to listen, I think a few callers ago said, about the receiver and the secondary. And even if we didn't go after Amari Cooper or Devontae Adams, it was still serviceable receivers that we could have went through.
That's fine.
And then
Deami,
I would have got rid of Deami. Doxon could have stayed. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Like, no, I don't think. I disagree with you on that. Thank you, Lap, though. I got to appreciate. I got to run. But I appreciate. I don't agree with that. I mean, Deami's far from perfect. That catch and where he ran horizontal and sideways and took an 11-yard loss drove me crazy. Go forward, please. Please go forward. But, I mean, Jahan Dotson, I mean, I guess we'll find out this Thursday. I'm sure Jahan Dotson will have two touchdowns and everybody will be going bonkers on Thursday Night Football. All right, Taylor in Chicago, Alex in Alexandria, we're coming back to you in just a couple of moments. We have very short breaks around here. Trust me, you can't even go to the bathroom. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We will get to you more on the game coming up. If you want to hop in, 301-230-0980, you want to fire off a tweet or an X post, it's at WrestleMania 621. We have so much still to get into in terms of the game flow and all of that stuff, but obviously we've been kind of focused on a couple of main issues like Ozzie's punt, fumbles and issues there, and as well the Zach Ertz spot and the Johnny Newton neutral zone infraction is what he wanted to say in English on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, on this Misery Motown Monday, we continue along. 301-230-0980. Jay Gruden will join us at 3 o'clock. We will get into the rest of the game. Matt was just reminding me we've kind of focused, obviously, on a couple of big-picture items, which is, you know, generally how these things work. The Johnny Newton situation and, as well, the spotting of the ball and all of that, and then OZ as well. You know, again, I haven't even gotten into the offense, how inefficient it is. I mean, certainly we've talked about drops, non-catches. Listen, the offense, way too many negative plays. They didn't try and run the ball very much, even though they had three rushing touchdowns, 21 carries or attempts, not all called, some scrambles, some, not by design, if you will. 60 yards, yet three rushing touchdowns, which is kind of weird, but not enough. And they put their defense in peril by not being able to stay on the field because they had 5-3 and outs. They had 12 all year, 9 games coming in. They had 5-3 and outs yesterday. It's almost half their total. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Taylor in Chicago listening on the Odyssey app. Taylor, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
What's up, Tay?
So, look, this is the issue that I have. I think, look, the team in Washington has had a schedule. Last year, we were literally the second worst team in the entire NFL.
Correct.
So this is obviously ahead of schedule. You give Mike Tomlin 2 weeks to prepare for a rookie quarterback, I think he's going to beat you 9 out of 10 times almost every single time, even though the team kind of gave it the best effort. The issue I have is two things. One, the passing offense seems to be stalling a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if teams are kind of catching up to the RPO action a lot, but it seems like every time you RPO, those guys in the middle had their hands up. It seems very coached as to when the RPO happens, this is what you do. If he hands it off, this is what you do. If he keeps it, this is what you do. And they were kind of hitting those points to a T.
That's a great point. Well, T.J. Watt on the last drive, right before, on second down, got one, to your point, and there was another one. Was it Highsmith earlier in the game? I can't remember. Or maybe it was Hayward. I can't remember. That also batted one up in the air that was almost intercepted. That's an excellent point by
you. They all, threw their hands up immediately, as if to say they've been well. That's a well-coached team.
Yep.
Was my first point.
Yeah.
And so I'm fearful that in the next few weeks, I'm curious to see how the offense does, and hopefully doesn't stall out. My last point is this: forever since you've been watching football, and since they implemented this yellow line on our TV screens, why do they always say this is not the official line when every time I see it, It is literally at the first down marker every single time.
Yeah. I think they want to say that because, again, the NFL and its old boys network is so petrified to say, hey, our officials can't see everything, so we're going to rely on and depend on digital technology. And then the other part is the digital first down line is generated by the television networks, not by the digital technology that the league uses, i.e. next gen stats, digital ball technology, whatever systems they could and have, because I don't think they quite honestly wanted to invest in it. They didn't view it as important as expanding the game globally, right? I think that's why you get remember that line is not official, you know, that kind of thing.
I've never seen that line, you know, not at the first down marker though. Like it's right. Every single game is literally at the first down marker.
Yes. No, I understand what you're saying, but you understand what I'm saying, right? It's coming from the television network, not from the league.
I get that. And so, but those are my two concerns. I think, again, we are way ahead of schedule. I anticipated a loss, honestly, to be honest with you, with Tomlin. And I'm going to make one last point. I know I said 2 points.
That's right.
There were too many Pittsburgh Steelers fans in that stadium yesterday. I know it was a quick drive. I know it was terrible talent there, way too heavy on my TV screen. So, me being in Chicago, I challenge all the fans to be there every single game and support this team. It don't let, you know, the opposing team show us out with a terrible towel or opponent.
I think this is a great point. Great call, Taylor. Thank you. I appreciate you listening. Listen, I know it was frustrating. I mean, it was like eye-opening because I haven't been at a Steelers game. I was at the 2020 game in Pittsburgh, but I haven't been at a Steelers game in Landover since 2016, right? And I've seen, you know, Cowboys, Packers, Eagles, all of that. Bad years, good years, what have you. I mean, it was pretty eye-opening still to see it all throughout the game, from the jump. How many, I mean, I didn't see many burgundy towels. I don't know where all the burgundy towels were that they distributed. I didn't see many of them, okay? But that being said, I also understand that Steelers fans travel to every road game, no matter where they are, in mass quantities, number one. Number two, it's a four and a half hour drive. Number three, it's in a very, it's not Vegas, but it's a city that people visit and build in like weekend stays or weekend family trips or what have you.
Go check out the Smithsonian and then go watch your team win.
So, and remember, for whatever little it's worth, the Penguins were here on Friday night. So, I mean, if you're really like kind of looking, you know, to kind of build a weekend trip, oh, hey, let's go to D.C. Let's knock off early on Friday. Let's take off on Friday. It's Monday. It's a Veterans Day. It's a holiday. We could, you know, we could stay. But if you got the money, people can do it. And you get to see the Penguins. I mean, usually Penguins and Steelers fans are the same people. You know, you could see both and kind of, you know, do the whole Washington, D.C. thing on Saturday or whenever. You know, to me, I wasn't that alarmed. I wasn't mad about it. I maybe didn't quite expect that much, but it's not surprising, especially when you consider, all right, as soon as those tickets go on sale in May, mid-May, the Steeler fans and the ticket secondary marketplaces are gobbling those up. And again, even though Jaden was in the fold at that point, we all know there was still a very, very understandable guarded approach from Commanders fans about buying it. Now I think it's different. But back in May, June, July, even September, it was different. And that gives a lot of time for the Steeler fans to buy tickets. So I'm not that – I mean, I don't know how it'll be next home game against Dallas, because normally there's a poop ton of Dallas Cowboy fans there. Well, their season's done. They're Dunsky. Stick a fork in them. I'm sure there'll be plenty of Cowboy fans there that already bought the tickets. But maybe those Cowboy fans will sell back the tickets to Commanders fans. So maybe it won't be as omnipresent because they stink. 301-230-0980. Let's do a trending alert right here, right now, and then we'll get back to your calls. Coming up right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we have Monday Night Football for you. We'll join it in progress right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. It is the LA Rams hosting the Miami Dolphins. Sean McVay, Mike McDaniel, the head coaches, of course, former Washington assistants under Mike and Kyle Shanahan. They'll be squaring off. Dolphins 2-6, Rams 4-4. We don't know about Tyreek Hill just yet, dealing with a wrist injury. We will see where that goes. Again, we'll join that in progress because before that, we have Florida A&M at Maryland for Terps basketball, which begins at 6:30, the pregame coverage right after Craig Hoffman. And over on Bloomberg 99.1 FM, we have the Wizards and the Rockets at 7:45 for that game and for that call. So you have a lot of play-by-play going on tonight here in the nation's capital and on the Team 980. And finally, wanted to mention this. How about this? Remember Wander Franco, the stud prospect of the Tampa Bay Rays, who's still technically a member of their organization? Well, apparently he was arrested in the Dominican Republic, and actually a part of San Juan, after what police sources are saying was an altercation in a parking lot of an apartment complex in which guns were drawn. He has been placed on indefinite administrative leave since August of 2023. And doesn't figure to play Major League Baseball anytime soon, if ever, once again. And that's what's trending. Ah, little Jackson 5 on a Motown Monday. I mean, when I think of Motown music, the Jackson 5 always just like symbolizes it perfectly for me. So that's why we like to do the Motown Monday theme, even though, you know, it's considered and associated with Detroit. It's a genre of music, guys. It's not just because it's Detroit or I'm from Detroit or anything like that, or because the Lions won a game they had no business winning yesterday.
I mean, how many places are you going to be able to get to listen to good music you don't listen to anywhere? Because no one else is doing Motown.
That's the
today.
Point, too, exactly, to be a little bit different, right?
Only
what's,
here.
What's the DC music? I always forget the name of it. You know, James Brown. DC specific music, and I'm trying to think of the name of it. I can't believe I'm forgetting.
You caused a mind blank for
me. Yeah, I know. You know what I'm talking about, though, right? And I just can't think of it right now, live on the radio. I'm sorry. I got a lot to remember and a lot to think about, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, we could do that, but A, Galdi used to do it. B, everybody does it. You know? I don't want to be different. I mean, I don't want to be the same as everyone else. I want to be different. I want you to, like, say, okay, I don't always agree with them, but the show is a different sound. It's different listen.
Go-go
music. There you go. I can't believe
that broke my brain.
Yeah, I can't believe we screwed that up. Sorry about that. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Alex and Alexandria next. What's up, Alex?
What's going on, Rooster?
Alex, what's going on?
What's happening?
Well, you know, just trying to digest this loss, baby, you know?
Well, me too, but, you know, there were so many mistakes made in that game. I'm disappointed at the performance of our tight end. He dropped two critical balls, in my opinion. Now, whether that was a first down or not, that's over with. You know, I mean, the league messed up. Yeah, they messed up because they should have seen it, that it spotted the spot of the ball, not where the 41-yard line was.
Right.
But that didn't kill the game. The kill game was the many mistakes. And I'm going to pull out Daniels. Daniels missed the guy wide open.
Luke McCaffrey is the play that you're talking about. But they also, the league, the officials, missed a holding call on Trent Scott in the end zone on T.J. Watt. I mean, I went back and I watched that. That was a clear holding.
Yeah, it was a clear holding, but then again, the personal foul on Chin, I mean, to me, it was a hit above the neck, whatever area, top of the helmet.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you supposed to do?
I'm glad you brought that up because that was a very critical penalty. I didn't initially think it was, but watching the replay and Craig Hoffman, who was sitting next to me in the press box and who follows me at 4, when we watched the replay, I mean, you could see, you know, again, going to the head, going to the it's not just the helmet. It's above the neck and the shoulder line, if you will, is how they kind of use that. And you know, like, look, I know it's tough sometimes, and Jeremy Chin plays 100 miles a minute, but you just can't. Unless you face mask a guy on Thursday Night Football, you know, then, yeah, Alex, you can do whatever you want in the league's eyes.
Oh, yeah, but and another thing here, I want to give a shout out to my Devil Dogs on their 249th birthday of the Marine Corps. You should acknowledge them from the beginning.
You know,
this is why this day. Yeah,
you're right. I said Veterans Day, but I did not do the Marine Corps birthday. You are correct.
Yeah.
So I acknowledge. And thank you. Absolutely.
Acknowledge me.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate you as always. Alex is a little bit of a spicy wild card. We'll move on. Let's get to Dontell and Frederick next up. Dontell, how are you, pal?
Chris, my man. What's going on?
What's up, Dontell? What's shaking?
Dude, I got two things, man. And I hope everybody remembers me saying it. 2, 3, 4 games ago, they get all hyped because we get Lattimore, and now they say all we need now is an edge rusher. Dude, that's not what we need. It's going to take time to fix the defense the way you want it. What we need and we can win with right now is an elite wide receiver. Terry McLaurin is there, but everybody else is so mediocre, dude. I mean, you can't have these balls dropped each and every week. It's just mind-blowing how people say, oh, we don't want to spend right now. We don't want to give up our assets. Dude, if you want to win, you got to give up those things. If you went out and got a T. Higgins, like I've been saying since the beginning of time, T. Higgins is going to be there. So it's just like taking a draft pick. He's still young, and he's elite already. So I don't understand why they won't help Jaden Daniels with what he can do. And Terry McLaurin, this thing could be off the charts, but they're settling for mediocrity on offense.
Let me ask it this way. Could you have made the Lattimore trade, which I think we all agreed was a good trade, even though right now he's not healthy and he might not even play this Thursday? Ultimately, could you have surrendered the assets for Lattimore and still majorly boosted your wide receiver spot, meaning, at least in my opinion, Davante Adams, the guy that went to Kansas City, DeAndre Hopkins, and who was the third?
Mike Williams, the one that
killed us. Right. Well, Mike Williams wouldn't have cost you much. Yeah. All right. So
right.
If you're going to sit here and say, yeah,
him.
Mike Williams, right. Okay. But there was a third Amari Cooper, who went from Cleveland to Buffalo, and who, by the way, isn't healthy. You know, so, like, I don't know if you want – I don't know if they wanted to, and I think they identified, obviously, corner as their number one need and tried to fill that and surrendered whatever they had to surrender to get that and an appreciable upgrade, again, once he's healthy. And that's right now the issue. Am I surprised maybe they didn't make another smaller move for wide receiver? Yes. I didn't expect them to make a big-time move for a game-changing wide receiver. But to your point, Mike Williams would have been probably a nice addition. Now, I will tell you this. Mike Williams, you know, I mean, he's never been healthy, one. He's been productive, but he's never been healthy. And he was kind of in the Chateau Bow Wow in New York. So I can't kill them for that, even though he made a nice play. And a nice catch.
Well, the only one I wanted off of there was T. Higgins because Davante Adams, he's a D. I do not want his and his attitude. So
yeah, but
if
you wanted T. Higgins, there was no way you were going to get – I guess my point is, if you wanted T. Higgins, I don't think they were going to surrender T. Higgins, you know, compensation and Marshawn Lattimore compensation. You know, so if you wanted T. Higgins, then you were going nickel and dime at corner, I guess is the way I look
at it. let me say this real quick, Chris, because you and Chien and whoever else, listen, I gave the guy a chance week after week after week. St. Juice is trash. He's trash.
So, all right, D, I appreciate you as always. Listen, I know he's not good enough. I know he's not good enough. The notion that he's trash is hard for me to comprehend because I've seen Benjamin St. Juice play very well at times. Very well. Physical, in coverage. I mean, I remember specifically a bunch of games, including one this year, right, where he's played very well. Does he get beat? Yes.
I think
we don't know. We don't know if he was told, hey, man, be 10 yard. Like, I got a lot of this. Why was he playing so far back? It was 3rd and 9. You're playing at the sticks to not give up basically a little hook route or a little stop route or whatever. We don't know if Joe Witt or Jason Simmons, their defense back, or whoever, what they're telling them. We don't know because we don't get that information. But I will say this. Again, Benjamin St. Juice is, we know, not a number one corner. We know that. The question right now, and this is part of the problem with last night, he wasn't beaten by George Pickens. He was smoked by a guy who got there yesterday and by a guy who was in the Chateau Bow Wow in New York and a guy who doesn't have blazing speed. He was smoked by him. And it took a great throw by Russell Wilson, but he was smoked by him, right? Again, one thing to give it up to George Pickens. Like, if you give up what Igbinoghene gave to George Pickens on an unbelievable catch, unbelievable twisting, turning catch, what have you, you can kind of live with that, man. Like, so much happened on that Mike Williams touchdown, but the bigger picture is that it wasn't George, for me, is that you didn't get smoked by George Pickens, you got smoked by Mike Williams. And even though it was a great throw and a great route and they drew the safety down because the Commanders had two safeties and they leaked a running back out of the flat so that the safety on the play side had to come down and Russ saw it and he kind of drifted backwards and he kind of got away from the pass rush and he reset his feet and he fired. Like, all of that had to happen for that play to go down the way it did. Now, remember also, they got maybe a little bit of a fortunate break on the fumble inside the 5 by Jaylen Warren on the previous possession. Like, I guess, I didn't hear this, but I guess Gene Steratore said the play, you know, forward progress or whatever should have been stopped. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and slow that down tonight. But the bottom line is, that's where I would be concerned is, St. Juice we know is not a number one, but he also got smoked by maybe not even a number two at this point. Maybe it's like a 2.5, 3. I don't know. He got smoked, though.
My issue with St. Juste has been, at least recently, he seems to be either 0 or 100. And what I mean by that is either he is not in the play, not paying attention, and giving something up majorly that it's like, why are you not covering the person that's 10 yards deeper than you? And yes, we don't know if that was a defensive call or not. But at that point, if you are, quote unquote, the number one cornerback on the team and you see, hey, there's a guy that's rushing towards the end zone, you get on him. And if they try and do something underneath, that is what it is. But you prevent the touchdown. And
he said after the game he tried to do too much, right? And he's got to pick and choose based on film study or instincts what he's trying to take away. And he didn't take away basically the go fade.
Well, but the opposite side of that, though, is when you see and – yes, he does make very good plays pretty much every game. He will make a play every single game that you're like, wow, that was a really good stop, or he blocked that. That was a really good block ball. He has moments, but half the time when I'm seeing those, I'm like, that was also real close to DPI, that he gets very aggressive, and when he's 100% on...
Well, he had a defensive pass interference early in the game,
but
too.
But that's my issue with him, is when he's on, he is good and he's gonna stop the ball, but you don't know if he's going to do it too aggressively or he's not in the play, because
why he's not a number one, because even though he's got size and physicality, he doesn't have the speed and the twitchiness, if you will, to cover more explosive wide receivers and athletes.
Correct.
He just doesn't. And you don't even have to be explosive to run past him. If he's sitting on a route at the marker, which is what he was, Orlovsky did a good breakdown of this with the All-22 video, where you can see not only the safety come down to take out the leaking running back, but also you can see St. Juice just sitting at the marker and trying to take away that little stop route, that little hook route, what have you, for the first down. And then he gets blown past by not even a guy that has tremendous speed in Mike Williams. All right, we got to take a timeout. More of your calls coming up. Jay Gruden as well. Stay with us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, back on a Misery Motown Monday. Let's squeeze in one or two more here before Jay Gruden joins us. Let's go to Derek in Suitland next up on the Team 980. Derek, how are you?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing good, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the buzz.
Good. I just got two quick points that I want to make. Yep. The first of which, man, is, you know, watching the game yesterday, one of the things that really jumped out at me in watching it is just collectively – the Steelers front line, their get off the ball is just next level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were so quick off the ball as a group that I think they kind of got to our offensive line so quick that it may have given them something that they hadn't seen before this year as far as, you know, that kind of pressure. And in turn, you know, I think that may have sped Jaden up a little bit, maybe subconsciously, or, you know, he just knew that they were coming because yep. Their get-off was just – it was crazy.
I think that's an astute point. You know, even though they didn't have, like, seven or eight sacks or six or seven sacks, which some of us worried about, pressure and, like you said, quickness off the – now, what is the reason for that? A, Mike Tomlin's still a defensive coach, even though he's been a head coach for 17 years. Still defense, right?
Right.
Two, they got a ton of talent. T.J. Watt, Alonzo Highsmith, Hayward. I mean, they got a ton – I mean – again, they've got not Alonzo Highsmith, Alex Highsmith. I always want to call him Alonzo Highsmith. But they've got, and again, that's what they preach in Pittsburgh, right? And also, let's be honest, they've been together for a while, right? So
that's very true. Makes a difference.
I don't know if you would agree. I said next year, man. All right, Pittsburgh, maybe I should have used this as an example, but when I was watching Houston last night before they kind of gagged up that game, I said, you know, next year at this time, if you give Dan Quinn and Adam Peters another year, like ideally you would want them to look like the Houston defense, fast, physical, aggressive, because I think they already have some of that. Right now, it's just not consistent, and it's not always there, and they obviously struggle to stop the run. Pittsburgh, you can use them as well, but I think Pittsburgh, you'd probably need a little more seasoning, if you will. But the point being is, man, they're quick, and they cause disruption, even if they don't get sacks or hits.
Yeah. And my last point is this, and you kind of summarized this just before the break. With St. Juice, everybody's saying that he's not a number one corner. I agree. But here's the issue. Even if Marshawn Lattimore would have been healthy and on the field, the matchup would have still been the same because Lattimore probably would have been on Pickens.
Yep.
So the matchup with St. Juice and Mike Williams would have still been the same, and so therefore St. Juice just has to be better. That's, bottom line.
I don't know if I pointed that part out, but I was thinking exactly that, but to your point, to your point. And instead, they got Igbinoghene on Pickens in the end zone for the great circus catch, and then they got St. Juice, who's their theoretical number one, against Mike Williams, who just got there for a cup of coffee on Tuesday. You know, so, I mean, unfortunately, we all know it's not good enough. And listen, even when Marshawn Lattimore actually plays, not everything's going to be perfect because, to your point, St. Juice is still going to be playing, and who are offenses going to pick on? I mean, if he plays this Thursday night, who are offenses going to pick on? Of course they're going to pick on St. Juice. Of course Dallas is going to, even with their backup quarterback, they're going to try and get CeeDee Lamb in a matchup against Ben St. Juice. Of course.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Great call.
Hey, thanks for taking my call,
Derek.
Chris.
Appreciate it. All good to hear from you. Let's get to Let's go to Sunday in D.C. Sunday, with us on the Team 980. Sunday, how are you?
Hello?
Yes, how are you?
I'm okay. I have one question for you.
Yes.
Is Benjamin St. Juice most suited to be a weak safety or a strong safety since he's not good at being a cornerback? Before I go, let me add this statement. I think the defense won the game because I was watching the game with my friend, and I kept telling him the Steelers had a choice of either scoring touchdown or kicking a field goal to win the to do an onside kick. And the 50-50 chance they were going to take a chance to score a deep pass, why the defense couldn't defend that? Thanks.
I appreciate it, Sunday. Thank you. So talking about the Mike Williams touchdown play, I assume, if I heard that correctly. Again, they were sitting on, like, the sticks at 3rd and 10. They were trying to, again, not give up the touchdown, and they gave up the touchdown because they were sitting on, it was 3rd and 9, and if you look at the alignment, they're playing two deep safeties initially, and St. Juice, and I think the other corner on the other side, right at the sticks. So they're trying to prevent and force a field goal or whatever. I don't know what Pittsburgh would have done. They probably would have gone for it on fourth down in that spot, especially if they would have gotten some of that yardage. That being said, about the other one, I would imagine, again, I haven't given it a whole lot of thought. I remember it being a big deal when they drafted him. I would imagine St. Juice would probably be considered like you're in the box, strong safety type, traditional mold, not a single high pencil eraser, you know, type free safety. That would be my guess. All right. Jay Gruden coming up next. We'll go over some of the pass rush numbers as well. I just got those from PFF. We'll do all of that. Still to come, you're going to hear Alex Ovechkin, another step towards history. Stay with us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.